This morning we have one of those passages that cause me to toss and turn as I wrestle with God as to what it is he's trying to say to me. Because the Beatitudes is one of the most loved and well-known passages in the Gospels. You find it often on the walls of people's houses. It's that passage that everybody knows, if not word for word, then certainly knows the gist of it. Indeed, when I sit down with Russell and we discuss our sermons together, what worked well, what didn't work well, we often find ourselves turning to the Beatitudes as we say that is the best sermon ever preached. It's a humbling moment when we say that, to realize that neither of us will ever stand in a pulpit and be as eloquent as Christ, for neither of us are Christ. My first thought, as I turned to the passage, was that perhaps I should lead with "Blessed are the cheesemakers," in honour of the great Terry Jones, who sadly died at the end of January. But I thought I better not, as after all, he's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy. I'm glad there's some Monty Python fans here as well. So as I continued my wrestle with today's text and with God, I couldn't help but think, and I couldn't help but reflect on the fact that this is the first Sunday that we find ourselves outside of the European Union. On Friday night, as we counted down to 11 o'clock, there was celebration on the streets of the UK, and there was deep regret as the minutes ticked down to saying goodbye. For some of us here, we will be full of joy as the chains of the EU have at last been broken and we are set free. For others of us here today, we'll be mourning the departure from the EU as we worry as to what the future might hold, cut off and alone as an island. As the EU Parliament approved the withdrawal agreement, the President of the European Parliament used the moment to remind us of words spoken by Joe Cox, the MP who was tragically murdered in 2016. Joe Cox said that we are far more united and have far more in common with each other than things that divide us. As we stumble into the unknown, carving out our own future now alone from the EU, perhaps it's right that we ponder on those words. Perhaps it's right that we remember those words as we reach out to our neighbours, both here and abroad. For we are far more united and have far more in common with each other than things that divide us. I mention these words so we may remember the strength that can be found in the stranger, in the neighbour, in the people that society push away. It takes great courage to stand up for those who society has no time for. It takes great courage to do what is right, not just what is accepted. It isn't easy to be different in our world. It isn't easy to fight for unity instead of looking for the division. As we do, we may find ourselves being persecuted, as we are silenced, as we are ignored, as we are pushed out of our circle of friends, as we find ourselves standing alone. Yet today in the Beatitudes, we're told by Jesus that he honors those who follow him. Those who follow his commandments, those who love their neighbor. Jesus uses the moment of the sermon to honor those who are pushed out, those who are countercultural, those who society ridicules and disowns, those who society persecuted. There's great debate about the translation of today's passage, as there is with many, many passages in Scripture, as we don't always know what exactly the scripture writers meant when they used the words they used. In today's passage, the debate hangs on one word, which is often translated as blessed or happy. And yet there's another option. What if we replace the word blessed with honored? Honored are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Honored are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Honored are the meek. By changing that one word, it takes a passage that can be used as a list of what we should strive to do in our lives, to suddenly being a passage that gives hope to those of us who follow Christ, even when things get difficult. The last beatitude is a wonderful reminder of that. When in verse 11, Jesus says, "Honored are you when people insult you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Honored are you when people insult you and persecute you. Let's just pause for a moment as we remember just how important connections were in society in Jesus' day. It was very much a culture of who you knew, not what you knew. Your position in society, the honor and respect you received, was all down to your family, to your marriage, and your patrons. If your family was unimportant, then you were by default unimportant and had little or no voice. If you didn't have the big, important clients at your work, then you were nobody. This in turn had huge consequences because nobody wants to do business with a nobody. Everyone wants to do business with a somebody. So in turn, you were slowly pushed out of your networks and left to live on very little, if anything at all. And yet, as Jesus preached those words that we heard this morning, the followers of Jesus were doing just that. They were keeping company with a nobody. Jesus was not an honored rabbi born to a well-off family. He was born to a carpenter. Worse than that, Jesus was preaching truths that were so countercultural they were unrecognizable. He pushed back against the norms of society as he told his followers to live a life unrecognizable to the world around them. As such, the followers of Jesus no doubt found themselves being pushed out of their own homes, out of their families and their work and their friends. They were the very ones that the Beatitudes spoke of. They were the hungry, the thirsty, the mourning. Jesus was speaking of them to them. They were the meek that Jesus honored in a sermon, who refused to rise at someone else's expense. They were the merciful and the peacemakers, seeking reconciliation rather than revenge on someone who wronged them. They were the pure in heart, as they broke down barriers, as they broke bread with the stranger and the foreigner. Today we find ourselves in a country in which we are free to speak the Beatitudes. We're given a lot of freedom as to how we live, who we hang out with, and what we say and what we do. Despite this wonderful gift of freedom, Christians are still being persecuted for being countercultural. Because persecution can take so many forms. It's not just limited to the crowds of Jesus' day. It's not even limited to the Christians in other parts of the world that we see in our newspapers and on our news. It's not limited to those who have to worship behind closed doors in secret. Christians here in Scotland are being persecuted today, for they are ridiculed by their family for going to church on a Sunday. Instead of going to that party or going to play football, or even just going to the shops. Or perhaps the persecution is found at work instead, where they find themselves on the sideline and laughed at, or perhaps a promotion is missed because they won't cheat on their expenses or take liberties from the company. Or perhaps the persecution is just found in our own silence. It's found in our silence of our faith in society due to the fear of an awkward silence and the possible rejection we might find. Yet on a hillside, as the crowd gathered around Jesus, the rest of society stands on the edge to keep an eye on this wild card preacher. Jesus gathers and welcomes those. Welcome those who society has rejected, those who have no honor in their world, those who have been made invisible, and he in turn gives them two gifts. Two gifts more valuable than gold or silver. In front of everyone, in front of the invisible and in front of the visible, Jesus gives those who follow him, those who push back at societal norms, honor. He declares that God honors them. Where their human parents may have disowned them, they are welcomed and honored as children of the God who created the universe, to whom all honor and glory belongs. And he also gives them a second gift. He makes them family. Where their own family have disowned them out of worry of what others might think of them, Jesus welcomes them into his. They will never be orphaned. They will never be abandoned, for Jesus welcomes the crowd as family, as he welcomes each and every one of us. God doesn't require sacrifices of blood or impressive buildings or achievement or respectability. Instead, all that God seeks from us, all that he seeks, is that we will have mercy and humility and justice for those around us. What would it mean if we honored those whom God honors? What would happen if we stopped playing all of our culture's games for status and power and privilege? What would it cost us if we lived more deeply into justice and mercy and humility? And more importantly, what blessings await us on that journey? We find ourselves in uncharted waters today, having left the EU, as we push ourselves further away from our neighbours. We live in a society in which MPs in Westminster rejected a call to reinstate the Child Refugee Pledge. We live in a society in which we are told to fear the outsider and the threat, due to the threat of losing our jobs, to those cheap foreigners coming in and taking all of our work. Today, though, we're reminded of another truth. That as Christians who follow our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ, we're able to stand up against those societal norms. For we are able to reach out to the stranger and welcome them as we see the good in one another instead of fear. For we are honoured by God and we are adopted by him. So as we share in the body and blood of Christ in a moment, as you pass the bread and the wine to the neighbor next to you, take the time to look at them in the eye, as you pass them the bread and the wine, as you remind them, as you smile to them, that they are an honored guest today, for they are adopted by our Savior Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again for them, as he did for us. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks that we can call ourselves children of God. Bless us today with the courage to live the life that you want for us as we reach out to our stranger and to our neighbors. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.